Good evening. You're tuned in to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and you're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Jim Healy, and we are joined each week by two residents of North Idaho who originally hail from one each of our other 49 states, and, and Idaho too, 50 total. We are going to talk today to a gentleman from the Lone Star State, the second most populous state in the Union, the 28th state admitted to the Union on December 29th, 1845, the state of Texas, and our Texan is Curtis Foster. Thanks for being here, Curtis.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about Texas, and let's talk about your experience, and where do you come from specifically within Texas?
I was born and grew up in El Paso, Texas.
Way down south.
Well, yeah, actually, the farthest west point in Texas you can get.
So southwest, way tucked away in the corner there. How large is El Paso when you were growing up? Was that a big city, or?
I think it was about a little bit bigger than like Spokane is now, but it's a border town, and so it's right across the border, the Mexican border from Juarez, Mexico. And at that point in time, I think between the two cities, there was probably close to a million or a million five.
Whoa.
And now it's dramatically bigger. I think there's close to 5 million people in that whole little region. Yeah. Down there, including Mexico.
What period of time approximately did you spend there?
So, yeah, I was born in 1960, and I left there in 78 to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school in Lubbock, Texas, which I couldn't get away from fast enough. But
I don't know where Lubbock is, actually. That's West Texas,
well,
too?
Well, they call that West Texas, but it's 400 miles east of El Paso.
Yeah. Yeah, reminding us that it's a pretty big state.
Yeah,
hard to sum it all up in just one man's experience, but but we'll try. El Paso, right on the border, and in those days, what was the relationship with Juarez across the border? Was it easy to go back and forth and frequent, or?
Yeah, it was super easy. We were. Well, like in high school or even with our family, occasionally we would go over there for like a dinner or something like that. Mm. And you would pay a penny per person to walk across the border.
A penny?
One penny. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which was a lot compared to the pesos at that point in time.
Okay.
And then you had to do the same coming back. And we would go over there. They had a city market in Juarez that was fun to go, and you could bargain the people down for different goods, you know. Later in high school, it was more, there was more, you know, walking over when we weren't supposed to, because we could go over there and drink underage, honestly.
Ah. So. Okay. What memories do you have, let's say, when you look back upon your childhood and growing up, those formative years, what memories do you have of being West Texan, or were you more El Pasoan? El Pasoan, is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay, El
exactly.
Pasoan, or was your identity, because it's a huge state, and so how did your identity run, and how did you spend your time, you know, like growing up?
Well, I mean, it's a desert community built around the southernmost tip of the Rocky Mountains in the United States. So the city is actually, there's a clear east side of town and a west side of town that are divided by a mountain range. And I grew up on the, started life on the east side, and then we moved over to the west side. A lot of people in town at that point in my life thought that the west side was where all the rich people lived. I didn't think we were all that rich, but we were comparatively to other people. I have memories of, you know, most of my friends were Latino, and that was interesting because my dad had a real problem. Like, with some racial issues with he didn't really like the Mexican people, but he lived there. We would have conversations about that stuff later in life, but growing up, I just, you know, it was just, these were my friends and this is what I did. I can remember driving down, you know, Interstate 10 runs through El Paso as it goes across the southern part of the United States. And I can remember driving down parts of Interstate 10 to go to the east side of town. And you're driving around that mountain range. So we're right alongside the Rio Grande River, which is the border between the United States and Mexico. And looking straight across the river, you would see massive amounts of houses that were really structures that were just like made out of cardboard. Like, we didn't have cardboard compactors at grocery stores. We had men who would come and like load up their trucks with all the cardboard boxes, and people literally stapled them to their walls in Mexico. So they lived with dirt floors and things like that. And it was quite a visible disparity, I think.
Hmm. Now, did you play at all in the Rio Grande River? I would think that as a kid growing up, you would wade in it, you would fish in it, you would.
Well, let me tell you about it, because it's really there's a lot of farmland that the Rio Grande goes through.
So irrigation.
Correct. Okay. So different times of year, there's not a lot of flow, especially around El Paso. So when people would illegally cross the river, you could do so without really getting your feet wet in a lot of places right around, especially around downtown. But then in the summertime when irrigation's happening, it's much, much more full and that kind of thing. But murky, muddy, you step a foot in 6 inches of it and you couldn't see your foot and things like that. We always thought there was all sorts of grossness in there, but that didn't stop us in high school from playing in the river. I have memories of like getting upstream of my friends and then like just putting my head underwater where they couldn't see me and just letting my body roll like it was a body and wrap around their legs and freaking them out that way and stuff like that. But yeah. It wasn't anything like the water we're used to here in San Pauline.
Yeah, El Paso, dusty, dry, hot. Is that about right?
Yeah, sunlight. Like the local newspaper would have like a thing in the bottom corner on the front page that would say, you know, today was the 334th straight day of sunshine.
No rain. No rain.
Maybe 6 inches in a year total. Huh.
And would it all come down at once rather than...
Lots of times that's how it would happen. So there'd be... Okay. And because, you know, it's built around a mountain, there was like flash flooding that would go in called the gullies and things like that.
Yeah.
That was kind of my playground growing up, was it just walking around in the desert in the different little canyons and things like that.
Yeah.
Interesting, after rainfalls, frogs would show up.
Yeah.
And we'd never see frogs... Huh. Other times of year. So I don't know, they were in some kind of dormant state or something, but it was,
hiding.
Yeah.
And so on the other side of Texas, if you go over east and north of there, Houston is about as hot and humid as it gets in my
recollection. Yeah, and Houston would be more south than El Paso. You know, it's down towards the Gulf.
Right.
And El Paso's... You know, there's a spot in El Paso where you can literally stand on one spot and you're in three states and two countries at the same time. So Chihuahua, Mexico, New Mexico, Texas, and then Mexico and the United States.
Yeah.
And so we were right on the southern border of New Mexico is where El Paso meets there.
Yeah. Huh. Did you spend any time when you were in Texas? Did you ever make it? I mean, I know it takes
hours. We had my dad's brother live down in Houston, and I have a very faint memory of flying in an airplane when I was probably maybe 3 years old and going to Houston and visiting there. And But I'd been to Houston other times as I was older, and yeah, the humidity's horrible.
Yeah.
Texas is very dry heat, and you know that old thing that people say, but it's a dry heat. It's
yeah. Like,
that is a difference. It makes
it still as hot. It still is hot.
Yeah.
One of my impressions of El Paso is there's a bowl game that plays there every January 1st or whatever. And I was always impressed when you said the tail end of the Rockies, mm-hmm. you know, that people are up on the side of the rocks up there looking mm-hmm. down into the stadium.
Yeah.
And
That's the Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
And now they, you know, it's got some, I don't even know, it's probably like
a sponsor.
The Frito Sun Bowl. I don't know what it is.
The KRFY.
But they've got a sponsor.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly, my dad was president of the bowl selection committee for quite a few years when I was probably in my preteen years. And so I got to go to these events where when the two teams would come, mm-hmm. where we did like hospitality and things like that. And so I got to kind of rub shoulders with the big football players and the coaches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I got to be down on the sideline during some of those games. And that was kind of
cool.
Yeah, kind of mm-hmm. cool memories from.
Do you still have family back down there?
I have some cousins that live there, but mm-hmm. no direct family members anymore.
So yeah. do you go back to visit at all?
I haven't been back since, my dad died in 2003, and then in 2004, just 13 months later, my mom died.
Mm-hmm.
And went back for a second funeral in about a year, and we cleaned out the house we grew up in, and I loaded up a truck with stuff for me and my my oldest sister lives up in Saskatchewan.
And I
brought a truck to Sandpoint, and she sent a truck down to us and got her stuff from me. And yeah, that's the last time I was there. So that was 2004.
Because I'd be sort of curious of your, as oftentimes with where we were born and raised, how it changes. And as we age, how you see your roots.
Yeah. Well, I know yeah. where I, when I lived there as a child, and my playground was right in these like desert arroyos. That was the furthest north on the west side of town that the city went. And when I was back there for my dad's funeral, I bet there was probably 5 miles of development north of where I grew up. Going that far north across the desert. So yeah, it changed a lot. There were 17 high schools when I graduated high school, and I think there was in 2004, I believe there was like over 30.
Whoa.
Huh.
So it did grow quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
El Paso, of course, pretty good sized city. Mm-hmm. But did you make it out into the countryside of Texas, out into the desert? I mean, what was your experience of the... I've driven across Texas a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Big open spaces. I mean...
Lots of open spaces. Yeah. Lots of... Like when, you know, I went to school in Lubbock, Texas, at Texas yeah. Tech. I did that for a year and a half. And that, I think that whole part of the region of the country is pretty... I think it's pretty nice in a lot of ways, but I always wanted to live somewhere else that had trees and clear water and mountains and things, you know, this type of environment where I ended up in Sandpoint. But we didn't do a ton of traveling through Texas. My dad grew up in Denison, Texas, which is north of Dallas, just below the Oklahoma border.
Mm-hmm.
We did have, I remember, I think I was probably 20. There was a family reunion that happened there. And so that's, and I was at an age where that would have been more interesting to me at that mm-hmm. time. So yeah, we got a little bit of that experience there. But yeah, that part of West Texas, it all looks the same. It's just mesquite bushes and uh-huh. dry desert kind of area.
Let's see. I mean, some of the biggest cities in the country are in Texas. You got San Antonio. Did you ever make it to San Antonio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
one time, and again, I was in my youth, so I remember, you know, going through the Alamo, and it was right after they had developed the Riverwalk in San Antonio, which was really kind of cool to see that in that part of the world.
That's kind of, yeah, that's, I'm familiar with it. That's kind of famous. I think that's well known now everywhere, but this is a, yeah, just a, it's a, how do you describe this? It's a public walking, it's a pedestrian zone for, walking along.
Yeah, it's, it's in the downtown area, and there's a canal that runs through it that has little, you know, boat rides you can take on the canal, and they teach you about the history of San Antonio and that kind of thing. And
I did that last July 4th, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
You know, did the Riverwalk, did the Alamo.
Yeah, and shops and restaurants and things like that all along it. Bars and it's quite a little gathering place.
Curtis, I read someplace that it was the number one tourist attraction in Texas.
Is the Riverwalk.
The Riverwalk.
Okay.
And you get down there and you take one of those boats, you know, with that has, well, that's fascinating, you know, the as they go through the different, you know, I have no idea of the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm not going to be any help there.
But that's southeast of El Paso, isn't it?
It's south and east of El Paso. It's down in what I think most of Texas calls like South Central.
Okay. What are the other cities like Dallas and Austin and
Well, Dallas,
Texas is huge.
Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth is, I mean, if you've ever been there, it's just a mass of humanity and freeways and buildings. There's so much to do there, for sure. I'm in Sandpoint on purpose. I don't like big cities. I don't mind visiting those cities. I have a brother who lives outside of Austin, and I've probably spent more time in Austin than I did anywhere else outside of El Paso. And that's nice. They call it the Hill Country there, and it's in the rolling hills part of Texas. So there's quite a bit of greenery and trees and kind of scrub oaks and things like that, and Big Lake, Lake Travis. I mean, you heard about all the flooding that happened earlier this year down there, and that was, my brother's house was within a mile of some of that really bad flooding, but he was thankfully up on a ridge line where he lives, so he didn't have any of that, but definitely had to help other people with what they were experiencing with that. And, Austin's a great town. I would consider Austin like the Nashville of Texas in terms of like music,
culture.
Really, yeah. Sixth Avenue or Sixth Street. I think it's Sixth Street in Austin that has all these different like restaurants and bars that have musicians playing live music all weekend long. You can just go from one vent or one genre to another, according to whichever bar you're in or whatever. So,
you know, one of the things I'm fascinated by, especially people from different parts of the country, where you didn't get any snow, did you?
Not much, but it did snow there. In fact, when I was, I think in 1971, we have cousins who lived in Flagstaff, Arizona, and they came to visit us for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm, and they got to our house the day before Thanksgiving, and that night it had snowed, or it was snowing, and by the next morning there was like 11 inches of snow on the ground, which is the most I ever experienced the whole time I lived there.
That has to be a rarity.
And my uncle, you know, from Flagstaff, they'd had 10 feet of snow sometimes, and he was like, gosh, we came down here to get away from the snow, and look at this, it's like you brought it with you. So, and yet that same day, we took a trip over to Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico, which was about an hour and a half from El Paso, just to show our cousins and stuff. And by the time we got back home, there wasn't any snow on the ground at all.
It all melted.
Yeah.
How were the seasons? You know, I mean, living up here in North Idaho, you know, we can see right now it's autumn. You know, all the trees are changed colors and there's snow and then spring. How were the seasons changing? Were you aware of that as a child growing up,
I didn't think in terms of seasons. I mean, we learned about seasons in school and things like that, but we had basically summer and a little bit of fall. And that was kind of it. We got skateboards and bicycles for Christmas because you could take them right outside and ride them.
Not toboggans or snow discs or anything
That was unheard of. That, usually El Paso might get like a 1 or 2 inch snowfall, which locks the city down. They cannot move.
Yeah.
But not a lot of snow. And of course it looks beautiful on the mountain there, but beyond that, it's like not a lot of snow.
What about the people, the kind of people growing up? I mean, at that time, I don't know, El Paso, is this cowboy country? Are people, how were people making their livings?
It's a border town. So there's a lot of international commerce that went on. I think Tony Lama had their boot factory there.
Oh yeah,
Which was just across the border in Mexico, and so there was a lot of different supply going that way. But it was definitely considered like, you know, there was a lot of country western type of feel to things. Mm-hmm. I grew up liking, you know, rock and roll. Mm-hmm. I was definitely, my oldest sister was in Future Farmers of America, and she raised a lamb. And I mean, a lot of people had, like, down away from the mountain, down in the Rio Grande River Valley, that was where any kind of agricultural kinds mm-hmm. of things went on in El Paso. And, mm-hmm. you know, there was horse racing there at Sunland Park Raceway. I remember that came into being and while I was there, and that was kind of cool. The people, I think, were very friendly and very open, and I liked being in a place that had so much like culture to it, you know, and particularly the Southwestern mm-hmm. and Mexican culture. Love Mexican food. Had a little place I used to go for chili verde burritos for, you know, from the high school, just to walk.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's oh actually a little
worth going back.
It's an independent butcher shop called Coronado Prime Meats, and they would give you either barbecue or chili verde burritos for 50 cents each.
So let me ask you this. Being so close to another country, did you pick up much Spanish while living there? Was that a... expected that you'd learn a little bit, as opposed to, let's say, I grew up in Indiana, uh-huh. and not much. Yeah, I think Illinois is next in terms mm-hmm. of people coming into the studio, and I don't remember being introduced to many other languages, but you.
Spanish was taught in elementary school, just right alongside reading and. Mm-hmm. writing and arithmetic and all of that.
Okay.
Kind of a shady piece of my family history is we employed illegal woman who would, my mm-hmm. mom would pick up in an alley downtown on Mondays, and she mm-hmm. would stay with us kind of as a nanny. Her name was okay. Emma.
Okay.
And she was kind of like my nanny. Mm-hmm. And so I'm told the very first language I ever spoke was Spanish. And I definitely have a propensity for it. It's been so many years that I've spoken it that I don't have all the vocabulary, but if I was sitting here and got somebody to slow down enough, I could, mm-hmm. I could communicate with them relatively well. And that's something that I've always kind of marveled at, that other parts of the country didn't have that kind of piece mm-hmm. of like growing up. Learning that as a normal part of your education.
Of differentness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Our time grows short. Jim, do we have any more questions for Curtis? Did you give us the full picture of the state of Texas here?
I gave you the full picture of the state of El Paso. And I'll say it that way because honestly, El Paso, I don't sound like Texas. This is how people who aren't like Latino in El Paso. They don't sound like they're Texans, with the Texas accent kind of thing. And, you know, we often had a little chip on our shoulder that we were like forgotten because West Texas was 400 miles east of us. And yet we were West Texas. So my view has always been they kind of viewed us more as like New Mexico than Texas, the rest of the state. So, I do think that there's probably more about like things that go on that eastern, more populous side of the state that, that other people probably have more information about than I do. But
I would think that I've looked at a map of Texas and sort of like El Paso would be the outlier, you know, that just hanging on the edge over in the southwest with one hand because all the rest of Texas. That everybody, except, you know, you got to admit, one of the more famous songs out of Texas is Marty Robbins' El Paso. And, you know, that maybe that's a song we should play to fill out the half hour.
Yeah.
But Curtis, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
You bet. And you've done a good job with Texas.